Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Our reading this morning will be Luke 8, 26 through 39. They sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained head and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear, so he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God had done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. The word of God for the people of God.
See, I tried to balance out. Last week was a really short reading,
yeah.
And this week was a really long reading. Will you pray with me, please? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be suitable and acceptable to you on this day. Amen.
Amen.
So the title of my sermon today is Demons and Pigs and the Power of Jesus. I am confessing to you this morning. You knew I was going to make a confession one of these days. I am a huge Star Trek fan.
Me too.
Live long and prosper.
Oh, yeah.
I have been since the show started. I used to hurry home from school because I can't remember. I probably was in maybe sixth or seventh grade, and they were showing reruns in the afternoon. It was before they switched over to Dark Shadows. Then I came home so I could watch Dark Shadows.
Me too.
For those of you who are also Star Trek fans, my favorite episode from the original series is The Trouble with Tribbles.
Oh, yeah.
And if you want to know more about that, mm-hmm. You can ask me or you can ask anybody that did this in response back to me, because they will tell you The Trouble with Tribbles. I can also tell you that there was one aspect of the series that continues to inspire me still when I think about it, and it was the mission statement of the Star Trek Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
The mission statement was part of the title sequence at the beginning of the show every week.
Oh, yeah.
In William Shatner's wonderful voice,
uh-huh.
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Amen.
It's got a powerful ring to it. We all, as soon as you say space, the final frontier, you know you're talking about Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
But you're probably sitting there wondering, what in the world does that have to do with the demons-possessed man story that Dave read about?
Oh.
Well, I think the answer lies in the beginning of the piece that Dave read. Jesus and his disciples sailed on over to the territory of Gerasene, which is across the lake from Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, different translations may suggest that it was the Gadarenes that he visited, or possibly the Gergesenes that he visited. Were they all one in the same place? You're thinking, well, the answer to that is no. Those are separate places. The Gadarenes and the Gerasenes at least were different places, and so it seems rather than there was some confusion as to exactly where Jesus landed when he sailed across the lake. Mm-hmm. We're not exactly sure where he did go because each translation is a little bit different. But in Matthew's version of this story, which also happens to be in chapter 8, it says Gadarenes, whereas in Mark chapter 5, it says Gerasenes. And in the version that Dave read from the NIV, I think it was the version you read from, it's also Gerasenes. Now, while there are various guesses as to exactly what village Jesus ended up in, there is complete understanding over its general geographical location. It was, the gospel writers all agree, on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which evidently, for a good Jew of Jesus' time, was like saying it was on the far side of the planet. On the west side of the Sea of Galilee, you had familiar towns like Capernaum and Nazareth and other familiar villages with God-fearing, law-abiding people. Now, on the other side of the lake, you had places like the Gerasenes and the Gadarenes and the Gergesenes and a whole lot of other places where strange people lived and did God only knows what. So, where did Jesus land according to the gospel lesson? Well, we're not sure, but I'm not sure it really makes a difference. We know he was on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And I think that there were probably plenty of men and women already living there, but they were strange to the Jews at the time. So, because they had strange practices. So Jesus was going boldly where no self-respecting Jewish rabbi had ever gone before. These people were not kosher. They looked different. They dressed different. They worshiped different. And they had strange ways of doing things. I imagine that the disciples of Jesus' time were radically uncomfortable when Jesus landed their boat and said, here we are. There's work to be done here. And then, can you imagine how nervous they were? Because the first person to greet them was this creature. Because he was like a creature at the time when Jesus met him. And their worst fears were coming true of these weird people that were on the other side. As Jesus stepped out of the boat, he was met by this guy. And he was the local guy, and he's had demons in him. For a long time, the man had gone without wearing clothes, and he wouldn't stay in his home. They would take him back, put him in his house, and before evening set in, he would return to the burial caves, and that's where he hung out. And when he saw Jesus, as Jesus stepped foot out of that boat, he shouted, Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what do you want with me? I beg you, don't punish me. Now, that was the demons talking in this man. We come to find out that his name was Legion. As he comes across to us in the Gospels, he's a very scary guy. Mm-hmm. Imagine what it would have been like to have met this disheveled, yet powerful, muscular, first century version of maybe some, and this is another old reference, but Conan the Barbarian, if you remember those things.
Yeah.
You know. I always kind of thought of Conan the Barbarian sort of like John a little bit. And it just seemed wrong. Everything seemed wrong. The man, the place, the pigs, the demons. It all seemed so uncivilized and so unclean for a good Jewish man. Jesus has walked into this land full of unclean people, to hillsides covered with unclean animals, and he seems to make a beeline for this crazy demon-possessed guy who lives amongst the tombs, as unclean and unholy a character as you could ever find. Now, most of us have probably had some experience with mentally ill people, But my guess is going to be probably none of us have had an experience with anyone as extreme as Legion was. Some of the elements of this tragic story may be familiar to us. A lack of clothing, homelessness, the tendency to do self-harm. But there are other elements here that I assume are beyond our experience, such as his enormous strength. And when he raged, he was just completely out of control. No one could restrain him. Every bit of chains and locks that they tried to put on him, he would break out. And then there was the strange noises that came out of his mouth. Dark entities that asked that they might be allowed to transfer themselves into this herd of pigs, presumably in the hope that there might be, that they might be allowed to live in a very unmolested way in these pigs. Now, that was pretty misguided, because what did people do with pigs? They ate pigs. And again, if you're a Jew, it's very significant that those demons were driven into pigs. So Jesus, he heals the man. And the wonderful sequel we see is the man sitting at the feet of Jesus, completely clothed, all in his right mind, listening to stories that Jesus is telling. It's a lovely image, and it's a happy ending to a bizarre story. Well, sort of a happy ending. At least it would have been a happy ending had it been the ending. But just as bizarre, the scripture goes on, and Dave read this part, that sort of takes the joy out of this whole story. You know, with most of the stories we hear of Jesus doing healing, you never hear what happens afterwards. They generally end with Jesus saying, "Go now in peace," or "Your faith has made you well," or "Go tell people that I've healed you," or "Don't go tell people that I've healed you." But with this story, it ended with him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. We probably would have thought that it would have been the same thing, that Jesus would have said, "Peace be with you." That Legion was Legion no more. His name was Bob. He got a job in a bank, and he lived out a quiet, peaceful life. As peaceful as it could be in that part of the world. But that's not how the story ends. The aftermath of Jesus' miraculous healing of Legion is not encouraging. In fact, it seems that once he was healed, his village no longer knew what to do with him. Because here he was, and they weren't able to tie him up and do all those things. So the man, not being accepted by his village, went back to Jesus, and he said, "Hey, I want to come with you." But Jesus says, "No, you're not going to come with me. You stay here." And then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus, "You need to get back in your boat and you need to go someplace else." And they say that they did this because they were afraid. Well, what were they afraid of? Who's afraid of Jesus? So one part of the story that, as we think about it, it's difficult for us to figure out. Why would they ask Jesus? Jesus, the miracle worker. Jesus, the man who had been able to solve the problem that these people had never been able to solve with Legion. Why would they say, "You're not welcome here. You need to get back in your boat and leave"? The scripture says they were afraid. Were they afraid, perhaps, that the dark and mysterious powers that had controlled the man were now on the loose and would seek vengeance upon them? It's possible, I suppose. Because I would imagine that these people were probably very superstitious people. Because, you know, we're not in Israel anymore. We're in this bizarre pagan place. And it's quite possible that these people had both feared, but also at the same time revered this man who had been possessed. You know, why else would they have not taken him out and done away with him, because they couldn't deal with him anymore? If he was the public menace, it seems that they would have had the power to, because the shackles couldn't hold him, that they would have taken another route to that. And I'm guessing that while these locals were afraid of what the man might do to them and their children, that they may well have also been more afraid of what might have happened if the demons were on the loose. There were dark forces at work in this guy. And so long as he just stayed out in the cemetery, they were very happy. You know, you can be out in the cemetery and do whatever it is you want to do out in the cemetery, you know, eating strange creatures and fish and all of that sort of thing. It sort of kept everything at a safe distance. Sort of like we are today with people that have mental illness. It's okay that they have mental illness as long as they're someplace else. Maybe that was it, or maybe their fear had much more a much more mundane basis. Maybe they just feared and were angry because they lost a huge herd of pigs. After all, that many pigs, and in Matthew's gospel, they estimate that it was like 2,000 pigs. It would have been worth a lot of money at that time. Jesus had a habit of upsetting economies and divesting people of their wealth. And maybe these people just felt that they weren't willing to pay the price necessary to see sick people healed and lives made new. Perhaps that was it. Perhaps it was a combination of these things. My guess is that I think the real problem is simply that these people realized very quickly that having Jesus around meant that they were going to be dragged into boldly going into places that no Gerasene person had ever gone before. They say that if you give people a choice between freedom and security, 90% of the people will always choose security and to not change. Maybe it was just that simple. And we all know when Jesus gets in your life gets turned upside down.
Indeed it does.
So Jesus gets in the boat and we leave the east side of the Sea of Galilee with nobody feeling any better for the visit that Jesus did. And that doesn't happen very often. Everybody always feels glad that Jesus has been with them. Because you see, the demons weren't happy. The locals weren't happy. The guy who was healed wasn't happy because he was no longer a part of the community. And certainly not those poor pigs. And yet, great things had been done there. Jesus had taken those disciples out exploring strange new worlds, seeking out new life and new civilizations, and boldly going where no God-fearing Jew had ever gone before. And moreover, a great miracle had taken place. Demons had been struck down and a man had been healed as the Spirit of God had begun to move in this new region where no one had expected to see it. There's a statement in the Gospel of Thomas, which is in the Apocrypha, that is attributed to Jesus that I think might be the one saying in there that actually does sound like it came from Jesus. He who is near me is near the fire. Mm-hmm. That's the quote. And if Jesus didn't really say it, others recognize that it was true nonetheless. He who is near me is near the fire. To be near Jesus is to be near the fire. It means taking risks. It means taking the heat and having the courage to go boldly where no man or woman has gone before. Are we willing to take that risk? Because that's what's being asked of Northwest and First United Methodist Downtown. We're being asked to go boldly and do something different that nobody's done before. We're being asked to create something in South Bend, something for Michiana that's going to be different, that's going to look different, but that's going to bring people to Christ, that's going to bring people close to the fire.
Amen.
Are we going to get burned a couple times? Probably. Just warning you. But we have to have the courage to go boldly where no one has gone before. What a privilege, friends, it is for our church to be the ones in the South Bend area that get to work with a sister church and to go boldly and do something different in the name of Christ.
Amen.
For whatever reason, the bishop's trusting me to do that. I haven't figured that out yet. But more importantly, my friends, he's trusting you. Do we want to pick security? 90% of you would have said, I believe, I could be wrong, I'm not patting myself on the back. 90% of you would have rather said, We just want to leave things the way they are. We want the security that we have. We don't want change. But we didn't get that choice. And guess what? We're getting freedom. Freedom to create something new and different and exciting.
Amen.
But most importantly, we're getting the freedom to follow Christ in a whole new way. To reach out to people in a whole new way. Now, I wish I could tell you what that whole new way was, but I'm not quite so sure that I have that all figured out yet. But we're all going to figure that out together. But I want you to know that we're going to get close to the heat. And we, my friends, have to have the courage to go boldly where no other church, no other man, no other woman has ever gone before. And what a privilege that is. And I hope you will continue to go on that journey with me on the Starship Northwest. I don't know what we'll call it. I had y'all going there in the beginning, though. You didn't know where I was going to go with my Star Trek. So friends, I say all of that because y'all can look around the room. I can look on Facebook. As soon as it was announced that there was going to be change, people are gone. We can do that, but wouldn't you rather be a part of something new and exciting and continue to do what Christ is calling us to do? And you're still getting to somewhat, kind of, sort of keep your pastor because we're going to be in this together. And so I hope you will walk with Pastor Emily and I as we lead us into this new, bold time. Will you pray with me, please? Loving and gracious God, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to go boldly and to do what you've called us to do and be who you've called us to be. May we never forget who we are and whose we are. Lord, give us the strength. Let us stick together. Because, Lord, together we can do anything. And now bringing another church with us, it can't get much better than this. You've got a task for us, and we are up to it. Be with us, help us, lead us, guide us, talk to us. Help us to hear your voice, but more importantly, help us to go boldly where no other church has gone before. In your name we pray. Amen.